Good time to take a time out, listen to some of the viewer comments, and we'll come back to the debate.
The U.S. is not to be trusted. It has always supported the Zionists and can change its policies towards Iran anytime it wants. Moreover, the U.S. Congress is controlled by Israel, so Iran should tread carefully now. There are many Christian Zionists in the United States, and most of them back the Republican Party, so it should come as no surprise that they said this. As long as there are Christians who think that the apocalypse will not begin until the Jews rebuild their temple, this country will be controlled by Israeli Zionist interests. God bless you, President Obama, for standing up to the dreadful few who have infected American politics with treachery and corruption. At least the USA try to be civil and with this out in a diplomatic way. What do you want to do? Attack another country in the Middle East under the approval and enforcement of Israel? That is only because the Republicans want to be the ones who make the deal. It shows that Iran has absolutely nothing to hide and that you are entering into the talks with honesty and forthrightness. Let us see if the US will do the same. I doubt it seriously, though.
Some of the viewer comments there. Scott Rickard, I'd like to point out, have your analysis, if you can, making a comparative analysis here. And that is news about how Saudi Arabia just came out yesterday, beat India in terms of the imports of military equipment, the U.S. being the number one manufacturer to provide Saudi Arabia with all different types of military equipment, said that Saudi Arabia and the UAE now have combined more military equipment than countries in the Eurozone or Europe. I forget one or the other. But the point being is that if there's a danger, because some regional allies are voicing concern over Iran's nuclear agreement, namely Saudi Arabia, if there's a concern about a country being in danger or posing a danger, doesn't this pose a danger? These weapons that are said for Saudi Arabia, for example, for it to trickle down to these Daesh terrorists or the ISIL terrorists, doesn't that pose a danger? Where's the letter from the Republicans there?
Well, that's a great perspective. When you look at the amount of weaponry that's going into such a small country like Saudi Arabia, the largest deal in the history of the U.S. military-industrial complex was cut last year for $75 billion. And that's obviously held by the Carlyle Group, and McKinsey and Company will go in there. And these are the highest levels of the military-industrial complex and the intelligence communities. And they are very profitable deals. So it's less to do with geopolitical structure. It has more to do with the financial aspects and gain of an industry that really needs its customers. It's a driving industry. It's all over the world, and not just in Saudi Arabia and the Persian Gulf. But what we see here is a clear indication of how dependent the U.S. economy is on the military-industrial complex. And also, when you take into consideration the energy industry and the energy and how that's being derived from the nuclear issues like Iran and elsewhere. Just recently in India, for example, another recipient of American technology as well as weaponry. In India, the Russians were building a nuclear energy facility that was highly protested recently by Western-influenced individuals who are trying to dominate the nuclear energy industry in India. And these types of activities that go on, in the energy and military industries have less to do with the geopolitical influences and the dangers of the nation as much as they do more, in fact, when it's around the economics of the country and the power and influence that those countries have outside the financial dominance of the Western financial systems. So all this rhetoric around economic sanctions and so on and so forth with political ideologies, it's really closer behind what some of your customers were saying, or some of the commenters were saying around you know, the influence of the power structures that are behind the financial and the military and the intelligence organizations that are far more powerful than the political administrations that come and go. And certainly one political administration is more fanatic than the other, and they are very much behind this apocalyptic messianic temple building that these religious fanatics in the United States are pushing. So at the end of the day, is the weaponry going into Saudi Arabia dangerous? Absolutely. It will be the result of more warfare that they're selling into regions like Yemen, mm-hmm. like Syria, and like Libya. So yes, unfortunately, they're the new suppliers.
Okay, we got about a minute left. So Jim Walsh, what is the alternative?
The U.S.
has come up with that. Obama said, what is the alternative? I mean, what do the Republicans want? What does Netanyahu want? Because Iran's not going to break down its nuclear energy program, civilian program that they have. So they want what? To isolate Iran, put more sanctions on Iran. And we know that Iran is going to continue with his civilian nuclear energy and its development. So what is the alternative here that they want?
Well, I'm probably not a good spokesperson for them, and it's unfortunate that I've only been left with 30 seconds, but I think there is no alternative. And that's been the criticism of the Netanyahu speech, is that he didn't provide an alternative. So I think the speech was a big deal, but it got a lot of criticism. And as far as Christian evangelicals, they don't control the U.S. government. As I said, the overwhelming majority of Americans support a negotiated agreement. I think we're going to get an agreement because there is no better alternative. And I think that agreement's going to be sustained. It's going to be approved by the United Nations.
Shut up.
You talked for
10 minutes and now you're interrupting me? Oh, man, that is just so unfair. And in any case, I think they don't control the U.S. government. Obviously, they don't control Obama. A majority of Americans want this agreement. We're going to get it, and I think it'll be sustained. And then the question back to the Saudi issue is, how will the Saudis react to that? Because whether we have a nuclear agreement or not, there's still a rivalry between Saudi Arabia and Iran. And so will the Saudis feel more threatened or less threatened after a nuclear agreement? I think that's a question that remains to be answered.
Okay, 30 seconds there. Go ahead, Scott Rickard.
Well, certainly the U.S. will continue to support their allies in the Persian Gulf. They'll continue their warfare that they've instigated, throughout Syria for the last 4 years. This is clearly backed by NATO. The borders are wide open between a NATO state of Turkey and their partner in Jordan. This is not something that has been propagated by Iran. Iran is only responding in the region in a very advisory level. And we're looking at tremendously illegitimate and unfooted negotiations coming from the West, the P5+1. And this is purely, thank God Iran is a patient nation and is waiting on the West to come to their senses.
Very well. Thank you very much. Ex-American intelligence linguist Scott Rickard there from Orlando. Thank you for your comments. In Security Studies program from MIT, Jim Walsh spoke to us from Boston. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of The Debate. For me, Kavitha Tafway, and the entire team in the capital of Tehran, it's goodbye.